140 trillion. Like, that is not a national deficit. It is not the number of stars in a galaxy. That is the number of artificial intelligence tokens being consumed in China literally every single day.
Yeah, it really, I mean, it forces you to completely recalibrate your sense of scale.
It really does.
So, welcome to today's deep dive. We are taking this massive stack of mid-2026 intelligence briefings, market data, and think tank reports, and well, we're using it to connect the dots.
Right, connecting four worlds that might seem, totally isolated if you only read the surface level headlines.
Exactly. We've got open source AI software battling for supremacy, global semiconductor sanctions, shifting trade routes, exploding memory chip prices that are absolutely going to hit your IT budget, and literal humanoid robots sorting packages in warehouses.
And the reality is, none of those tracks are isolated anymore. I mean, they are colliding in real time, they're feeding into and accelerating one another. My mission today is to be your curious guide through this maze, pulling out the most surprising insights. And I've got our analytical voice here to map out how these massive macro trends actually function under the hood. Okay, let's unpack this. Because the first thing we need to wrap our heads around is this fundamental shift in how we are measuring computing power.
We're watching a new global currency being born,
Yeah,
essentially.
right.
What's fascinating here is how quickly the language of computing has changed. If you look at the OpenRouter data from our sources, global AI large model API calls, which are really just software requesting a task from an AI model that just hit 44.6 trillion tokens in a single week globally.
Wow.
But then you look at China's domestic consumption, daily AI token consumption has reached 140 trillion.
Which is just staggering. But just to be incredibly clear on what a token actually is for everyone listening, we aren't talking about crypto coins,
No,
right?
not at all.
In the AI world, a token is basically a piece of a word, a syllable, a punctuation mark, something like that. Processing 140 trillion of those a day is a 1400 times increase compared to just 2 years ago in 2024.
Yeah, and that sheer volume has fundamentally altered the telecom industry over there.
How so?
Well, China's three major telecom companies aren't just looking at this as background traffic anymore. They are officially rolling out token pricing plans. They are using the token as a fundamental new billing unit.
I find this entirely wild, but it makes total sense. It feels like tokens are the new cellular data megabytes.
That's a great way to think about it.
Like, think back to when we used to obsess over how many text messages or voice minutes were left on our mobile plans, and then overnight the smartphone arrived and everything shifted to data. We paid for megabytes.
Right, the pipeline.
Exactly. Now we're making that exact same cognitive leap again. We are no longer paying for the pipeline, we are paying for the artificial thought traveling through it.
You're paying for the cognitive processing unit of the AI. And because demand is skyrocketing to 140 trillion a day, the battle to control the software side of this ecosystem, like the models actually generating those tokens, is ruthless right now.
Which brings us to the strategy behind Zipu. According to these briefings, Zipu just released their GLM 5.2 model alongside a coding-specific model called Zcode 3.0.
Under a completely open MIT license.
Right. And I have to challenge this logic based on everything we just established. I mean, the API demand just jumped 400%, even after Zipu raised their prices earlier in June.
Right.
If demand is practically infinite and people are willing to pay, why on earth give your absolute best model away for free with practically zero commercial restrictions?
Because the game they're playing isn't about immediate licensing revenue, it's about global positioning and honestly, corporate valuation.
Okay, so the IPO.
Exactly. Zipu is currently preparing for a massive dual IPO, an initial public offering on both the Hong Kong Exchange and the Star Market, which is essentially China's equivalent of the tech-heavy Nasdaq.
Got it.
When you are going public, proving you have a deeply entrenched, fiercely loyal developer ecosystem, well, that's the ultimate multiplier for your valuation.
So giving away the model is basically a loss leader. It's a land grab to make sure developers build on their system instead of, say, Meta's Llama or Europe's Mistral.
Precisely. They are sacrificing short-term fees to dig an incredibly wide ecosystem moat. If every developer builds on your architecture, you control the standard.
But looking through these developer reports, not everything in the software land grab is actually transparent.
No, it's not.
Like, Zipu is playing the open source game, but we've got some serious controversy popping up with other major players. The Moonshot AI situation with their Kimi K2.7 code model is just fascinating.
Yeah, the Kimi situation is a perfect case study in the growing pains of a hyper-competitive market. Moonshot AI published claims that their new model reduces the thinking tokens required for a task by 30%.
Right, while simultaneously boosting performance by 21.8%. On paper, if I'm an enterprise software buyer, that is a massive efficiency leap. I would buy that instantly.
But the catch is in the verification. When actual independent developers and practitioners tried to replicate those efficiency numbers in the real world, they completely failed.
Wait, really? Completely?
Yeah. The only place those spectacular 30% reduction results actually show up is on Kimi's own proprietary testing benchmark, the Kimi Codebench V2.
Oh, wow. It's like grading your own homework. It's like a pharmaceutical company running a clinical trial telling the world their new drug is a miracle, but refusing to let any outside doctors look at the patients.
That is a very accurate comparison.
If you're a business leader listening to this and you're budgeting to integrate these new regional AI models into your tech stack, this is a glaring red flag. If you blindly trust the marketing brochures without independent third-party testing, you are exposing your entire IT infrastructure to immense risk.
Absolutely. The lack of an independent, trusted third-party evaluation system is creating this sort of numbers inflation crisis.
Right.
But even if we assume some of these software benchmarks are inflated, the physical reality is undeniable. Processing 140 trillion tokens daily requires staggering amounts of physical infrastructure.
Metal, silicon, electricity, and cooling. Which means we have to pull out of the software cloud and look at the hardware layer. And this is where the geopolitical chess match gets deeply complex.
Because for the last decade, if you wanted to do AI, you essentially had to pay the NVIDIA tax.
Right. NVIDIA hasn't just dominated the physical chips. They've held the entire industry captive with CUDA.
And CUDA is the essential piece of this puzzle that often gets misunderstood.
Break that down for us.
Sure. It isn't a chip. It's the software platform, the programming language, that allows a developer's code to actually talk to the NVIDIA GPU. Historically, if you didn't write your code in CUDA, the chip simply couldn't understand the instructions. It was the ultimate invisible monopoly.
But the data in this briefing shows that the moat has been breached. DeepSeek V4, which is currently one of the most advanced models operating globally, has been independently confirmed to run on 9 different Chinese-made AI chips.
Right.
We're talking about native hardware from Huawei, Cambricon, Beeren, and others. How are they physically bypassing CUDA?
Through massive investments in translation layers and compilers, they are building software bridges that take standard AI code and dynamically translate it to run natively on Chinese silicon.
So completely sidestepping NVIDIA's ecosystem.
Exactly. And because they've proven the software translation works, the financial markets are responding aggressively to fund the hardware.
Right. The four little dragons of Chinese GPUs. Inflame Technology just passed its Star Market IPO review to raise 6 billion yuan.
Which rounds out the group.
Yeah, Cambricon, Beeren, Morethreads, and now Inflame are all tapped into public market capital.
And that capital is essentially de-risked by state policy. The National Development and Reform Commission initiated a 2 trillion yuan AI data center plan. Yeah. And the linchpin of that plan is a mandate that 80% of the chips inside those new data centers must be domestically produced.
So the state mandates the demand, guaranteeing a customer base, which gives the public markets the confidence to pour billions into scaling up these four dragons.
Exactly.
But we can't ignore the external pressure cooker driving this urgency. Let's look at the latest export regulations from the U.S. Bureau of Industry and Security, the BIS.
Right, and keeping this strictly to the mechanics of the policy, the U.S. has expanded its AI chip export bans to target overseas subsidiaries of Chinese companies, specifically in the Middle East and Southeast Asia.
The intention is to close the gray market loopholes, right?
Yes. The Middle East had become a major transshipment hub for high-end chips like the NVIDIA H200. The U.S. is attempting to shut down that back door.
Here's where it gets really interesting. A major U.S. think tank, the Center for New American Security, or CNAS, published an impartial analysis in this stack questioning the long-term effectiveness of this strategy.
They point out the strategic inconsistencies.
Right, and looking at the timeline of events here, by aggressively closing the back door in the Middle East, is the U.S. essentially forcing China to rapidly construct its own front door?
It raises a really important question about the causality of export controls. When you restrict access to a critical technology for an economy of that size, the demand doesn't evaporate.
No.
The capital just aggressively pivots to fund alternative supply chains.
And the numbers prove the pivot is happening right now. Just as those new Middle East restrictions hit, the reports confirm that Huawei has achieved mass production of the Ascend 950 PR chip.
And we aren't talking about a batch of lab prototypes here.
No, not at all. ByteDance, the parent company of TikTok, just placed a $5.6 billion order for these chips.
An order of that magnitude signals that the translation layers we talked about are stable enough for enterprise deployment at a massive scale.
But a $5 billion GPU brain is totally useless if it starves to death waiting for data, which explains the absolute chaos happening in the global memory market right now.
Because an AI data center doesn't just need processors, it needs specialized memory to feed those processors.
Specifically, high bandwidth memory, or HBM.
Right.
And the price shocks here are going to affect everyone listening to this. I mean, the cost of everyday DDR5 memory is up 682%.
It's massive.
And NAND memory, which is your standard long-term storage, is up 807%.
The underlying mechanism for those price spikes is physical manufacturing capacity. Standard DRAM memory is relatively straightforward to produce.
Okay.
But high bandwidth memory is a completely different beast. You don't just print it on a wafer. You have to physically stack multiple memory chips vertically, like a microscopic skyscraper.
Wow.
And then you drill microscopic holes through silicon vias down through the floors to wire them together.
And if you drill one hole slightly off-center, the entire skyscraper goes in the trash, right? The defect rates are brutal.
Exactly. Because it's so difficult and resource-intensive to build, HBM production is currently cannibalizing 23% of all global DRAM wafers.
It's pure agricultural economics.
How do you mean?
It's like taking a quarter of all the farmland globally that usually grows your standard everyday wheat and converting it overnight to grow incredibly lucrative, high-maintenance truffles for elite restaurants.
Ah.
So the truffle farmers get rich, but suddenly the price of basic bread, or in this case, the standard memory chips that power your everyday laptop, your smartwatch, your company's standard servers, goes completely through the roof because nobody is growing the wheat anymore.
That's spot on. The physical capacity simply doesn't exist to do both at current demand levels. And this dynamic places South Korea, which historically dominates the global memory market, in a highly precarious strategic position.
Right.
The briefing includes insights from attorney Kim Kung-jin, who notes that South Korea is currently operating under two clocks.
Two clocks. Okay. Looking at the trade data, clock number one has to be the massive cash boom they are experiencing right now. South Korea's semiconductor exports to China surged by 243% in a single month, generating a $3.8 billion trade surplus. Because China is building out those 2 trillion yuan AI data centers, they are vacuuming up South Korean memory at an astronomical premium.
That is the boom clock. It is incredibly lucrative in the short term.
But there has to be a catch. Because if China is aggressively localizing their GPUs and their software, they aren't going to stay dependent on foreign memory forever. So this massive boom is basically a ticking time bomb, right?
Right.
Clock number two is the realization that China is using this imported memory to buy time while they finish their own factories.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, your deduction is exactly right. Clock two is the competition clock. China's own domestic memory champion, CXMT, is quietly finishing preparations to mass-produce HBM3 memory designed specifically to pair with Huawei's new chips.
No, wait. A lot of the industry consensus I've read claims that CXMT is still a good 2 to 3 years behind the technological capabilities of South Korean giants like Samsung and SK Hynix.
Oh, they are.
Right. I mean, SK Hynix is already moving to the next generation HBM4.
Technologically, they are behind. But in a subsidized ecosystem, being the absolute best matters less than being good enough and domestically secure.
Ah, of course.
CXMT has massive state backing and a guaranteed captive buyer in Huawei. They don't need to win a global benchmark test. They just need to feed Huawei's Ascend chips well enough to keep the data centers running.
So even if the South Korean memory is objectively faster, Huawei will pivot to CXMT the second it's viable to complete that 100% domestic supply chain.
Yes, exactly.
Which means South Korea's highly profitable boom has a strict expiration date. If they don't take the billions they are making right now and aggressively reinvest it into leaping ahead to next generation packaging, they're going to wake up in 3 years and find their biggest customer has vanished.
It is an existential race against their own best customer.
Okay, so we've mapped out the digital supply chain. We've got the open source software models writing the logic, the domestic silicon processors doing the math, and the incredibly complex stacked memory feeding them the data.
Right.
So what does this all mean when you take all of that immense computing power, pull it out of the data center, and put it into a physical body?
Well, you step into the world of embodied AI.
Hmm.
And the mid-2026 data shows an astonishing acceleration here, We are no longer talking about awkward prototypes falling over in university laboratories.
We're talking real-world application.
We are tracking mass industrial deployment.
The Robotera deployment in these reports is genuinely staggering. They have officially deployed fleets of humanoid robots across 10 major logistics hubs for China Post and SF Express.
Yes.
They aren't running limited pilot tests. These robots are on the floor, actively sorting 1,200 packages per hour.
And the significance of that number, 1,200 packages an hour, cannot be overstated.
Right, because 1,200 packages an hour stops being a cool sci-fi experiment and immediately becomes a hardcore Excel spreadsheet cost analysis.
Precisely. Wall Street and the global capital markets,
yeah,
you know, they do not invest in sci-fi. They invest in predictable return on investment.
Of course.
The moment a robotics company can prove a hard, reliable metric of physical output, the math crystallizes. A logistics manager can look at the data and say, this humanoid costs X in electricity and maintenance. It outputs 1,200 packages an hour, while human labor costs Y and output Z.
When the silicon becomes cheaper and more predictable than the muscle, the floodgates open, which perfectly explains the absolute frenzy of IPOs happening in the robotics sector right now.
It really does.
The intelligence shows Engine AI is pushing for a Hong Kong IPO at a 10 billion yuan valuation. Unitree and Liju are right behind them, sprinting for public listings. It is the exact same playbook we just saw with the four little dragons of GPUs, just applied to physical machines.
And just like the GPUs, this capital rush is intentionally spurred by government policy. The state issued a directive to deploy 10,000 humanoid units in the near term. The policy creates the target. The engineering achieves a viable metric like 1,200 packages an hour, and then the capital floods the zone to scale manufacturing.
And to fully grasp how sophisticated the physical agility of these machines is becoming, we just have to look at what's happening next week. At MWC Shanghai, the Mobile World Congress, they are hosting a humanoid robot soccer challenge.
Yeah, multiple commercial robotics firms are entering their units into a dynamic physical competition.
And soccer isn't just about moving forward. To play soccer, a robot requires real-time dynamic balance, complex spatial awareness, predictive physics to know where a ball will be. I mean, you can't be a clunky, pre-programmed machine to do that.
No, not at all.
You have to be incredibly fast and you have to be able to physically think.
It is the ultimate synthesis of every single trend we have dissected today. To make a robot play soccer, you need the low-latency telecom networks transmitting tokens. You need the advanced open-source vision models processing the environment. You need the high-speed domestic GPUs running the inference. And you need the specialized memory to feed it all in real time.
It is all one massive, breathing digital organism. Let's pull all of this together for you, the listener, because we started this deep dive by noting how the software, hardware, and robotics tracks used to feel completely separate. But look at the picture we've just painted.
Well, it's all connected.
We've gone from AI tokens becoming the literal new cellular data megabytes filling a 140 trillion a day economy. We've explored how targeted export controls inadvertently forced a fully self-reliant hardware ecosystem to spring up, funded by billions in public capital.
Yep.
We've revealed how the insatiable demand to build AI memory is physically displacing standard chip manufacturing, which guarantees the IT equipment you are budgeting for next year is going to cost you significantly more.
Absolutely.
And finally, we've seen how all of that intelligence is being poured directly into the humanoid robots that are right now sorting the packages you order online.
This interconnectedness dictates the economic reality of the next few years. Whether you are a CIO trying to secure hardware budgets amidst a memory squeeze, an enterprise developer trying to decide which open source AI models benchmarks you can actually trust,
which is a tough,
or a logistics executive evaluating the tipping point of supply chain automation, you know, you can no longer analyze the software without understanding the memory constraints. And you can't look at the robots without understanding the cost of the API tokens powering their brains.
To leave you with one final provocative thought built right out of today's source material, the Chinese Ministry of Industry and Information Technology, the MIIT, just announced a 3-year infrastructure plan.
Okay.
Their stated goal is to ensure that AI computing resources can be accessed within exactly 1 millisecond across 75% of the entire country.
A 1 millisecond latency.
A single millisecond. If AI intelligence can travel from a massive data center to a smart factory floor to a cellular phone or to a humanoid robot's optical sensors in under a millisecond, what happens to our world when the delay between a digital thought and a physical action drops to absolute zero? Think about that next time you track a package.
It fundamentally rewires our relationship with the physical environment.
It truly does. Thank you so much for taking this deep dive with us today. Keep questioning the metrics, keep connecting the dots, and we will catch you next time.